Hey there, and welcome to the Six Ways from Sunday podcast. I'm Ben Wilson, I'm your host, and I'm sitting with Robin King. We're doing kind of a double header today because I'm going to be away on vacation for a couple weeks, so we're pre-recording some, and we'll be releasing these at their normal scheduled time. But we've been kind of looking ahead at the lectionary. Usually what we do is Robin and I sit down over a cup of coffee. We just discuss different ideas and topics related to faith and the way we live, think, and love in the world. And so usually we look at what's coming up in the lectionary, which is a list of recommended scripture readings for each Sunday church service. And Robin is our minister at the Bashaw United Church and the Ponoka United Church. We share him back and forth each week. And all of those church services are live streamed on YouTube. So you can join us for church at 10:30 in the morning any Sunday. That's Alberta time. By going to risingspiritministry.com, and there's a link there to the live broadcast of the Sunday services, and those are also archived. So that website is also where you'll find Robin's blog every week and this weekly podcast. So thanks for joining us today, and thank you, Robin, for recording another episode with me here today. And today we are going to be talking about miracles. Now, miracles is a topic that we've touched on here and there throughout the show in past episodes. It comes up a lot for obvious reasons. We're often talking about, especially this last few weeks, we've been kind of progressing through the Gospel of Mark, and it's the story of the Jesus and the disciples going out into the world, and he's performing all these miracles. And so we keep dissecting these stories, and I know a few times we've talked about, well, what is a miracle? So I'm excited about this conversation and just diving right into that specifically. So share with us, Robin, what story we're going to be using to examine this subject today.
Well, the story is the feeding of the 5,000. It's John's version. Actually, this is interesting. We've been making our way through the Gospel of Mark the last little while, and where we stop in the Gospel of Mark, it appears to be right before he tells the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. And then the week after, we jump to the Gospel of John and John's version of the story. And John's version has some interesting little quirks in it. Like it's a little boy who has the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And little things like that. But basically, fundamentally, the story is about how there's a big crowd of people and Jesus feeds them with almost nothing.
Right.
And it's a miracle. So what's a miracle? And that's actually a really good question. What is a miracle? And I think the answer to that question is, if you knew what a miracle was, it wouldn't be a miracle. And that's the point.
Right.
And we have been talking about this off and on for a while. In fact, I quite well remember a few weeks ago I was doing a service at the seniors' lodge here at Bashaw Meadows, and I said, frankly, sometimes I wake up in the morning and think it's a miracle that I woke up. And I was saying that
every day that we are alive is a miracle.
The thing is, but the thing about that for a moment, I said that to a room full of people who live in a facility that takes care of them because they're either elderly or they require care. And yeah. The thing is, right away, you might go to yourself, wow, you said that to a room full of people for whom, waking up in the morning, sometimes maybe they might actually think that is a miracle. And yes, I did, because yes, it is. How is it not?
Yeah.
I mean, if you think of all the things, like if you're perfectly healthy, I don't care who you are, if you're perfectly healthy you have absolutely no issues of any kind whatsoever, and every day is just like the best day ever, that, by the way, is a miracle right there. But just waking up, think of the many what your body has to do to wake you up in the morning.
Yeah.
From moment to moment to function, for your heart to beat, for your brain to function, for your parts to all move the way they're supposed to and work the way that is a miracle. Because no matter how much doctors will tell you they understand everything about the human body, no, they don't, and they shouldn't. I mean, don't get me wrong. We've made lots of advances, and science is great and smart and everything else. But there's a point at which it's a miracle. It just is.
So, the definition of the term then is kind of, it's the remainder we understand and are able to explain a lot, and the remainder, all the stuff that's left over that we can't, well.
This is why we get into arguments about miracles in the Bible, right? Is that Jesus does a miracle, right? And then we go, either, wow, Jesus did a miracle, Jesus is powerful, and we use it to emphasize the fact that Jesus is the Son of God and therefore has power over all things. Or we explain it. And then that of course garners the response of, you just explained it away, how is it a miracle anymore?
Right.
And the unfortunate answer to that question is, good point, it isn't. And that's the thing, is that's why, and I'm, because I'm about to take this miracle and explain it for you, that's why I think we need to revisit our understanding of what a miracle is, and truly come to grips with the fact that it's a miracle because we don't know for sure.
Right.
But there's a bunch of different ways that we can not know, just as there's a bunch of different ways we can know. Who was it who said, what does the U.S. call their foreign secretary, Secretary of State, I think, or whoever he was that had that bit about in Iraq, about, it was something about how we know what we know, but we don't really know what we don't know.
Okay.
Because you don't know what you don't know.
No.
Because you don't know it. So how can we know what we... It was one of those sort of convoluted things around what you know and what you don't know. And it's absolutely ridiculous. And yet, it's right in a way. Because we don't know what we don't know. How can you? Because you don't know it, right? And that's the thing around miracles. We go, okay, it's a miracle because Jesus made it happen. That is not a criteria for a miracle, because Jesus made a lot of things happen, and many of those things were not miracles. Just because Jesus did it in the story doesn't make it a miracle, first of all. Secondly, I don't actually think in this story, and this is why it's such a perfect example of what I'm talking about, I don't think Jesus in this story did the miracle. I think everybody else did the miracle. And that's, gasp. I know. But I'm not explaining, and this is the difference. I think that it is perfectly reasonable and legitimate to understand this story as, Jesus took 5 loaves and fishes, asked for God to bless them, and then distributed those 5 loaves and fishes and miraculously was able to feed the crowd, however many people were there. And bear in mind, I think it says 5,000 people, but in biblical speak, that would mean men. So there was probably women and children as well, conceivably. So, it was probably a huge crowd. It is perfectly reasonable and understandable that people would hear that story and say it is an example of the power of Jesus as the Son of God to do something extraordinary. Yes, it is. Okay, fine. But it's also an example of Jesus' power as Jesus to take 5 loaves and fishes and say, let's share what we've got. And therefore inspire other people to go, wow, Jesus has literally nothing. And in this instance, in John's telling, it's a little boy who is willing to share all that he has with everyone as far as it will go. That maybe inspired somebody else to go, you know, I've got a loaf of bread in my bag. I've got a couple of fish my own self, or I've got a salad. I don't know. Do you know what I mean?
Some beets. Maybe some pickled beets.
Maybe I've got, you know, whatever it is. I've got some nuts. I've got some berries. I've got whatever it is. And then the next person went, oh, well, okay, I think I've got something. Yeah. And maybe some of those people went, I have literally nothing. I can't believe it. And I'm sure the people around them went, that's okay. I've got something here.
Basically, right? You're describing potluck lunch or on a Sunday.
It just occurred to me as I was saying that, that Jesus is saying the little boy is willing to share everything that he has, even though it's almost nothing compared to the size of the crowd. And it's about sharing and inspiring other people to share. And we've been doing, we're doing a children's program in Pinoca this week and in Bashaw next week. And one of the stories that we're using is the stone soup story about the three monks who come into the town and no one wants to have anything to do with anybody. And so they get a pot and they talk about how they're going to make soup with stones, and they just need some water, and they start a fire, and they put the little girl comes out to see. In this story, it's a little girl or a little boy, a child comes to see what they're doing and asks, I think I've got three stones. And then, of course, they need a bigger pot. Well, I think my mom has it's a little kid, right?
Hmm.
That is the instigator of the miracle, which then turns into everyone bringing everything they have to make this massive great soup for the community that turns into a community-wide feast, and suddenly everybody's door is open and they're sharing with their neighbors, right?
Yeah.
It's a miracle. And you know what? It is a miracle because there's lots of times when that doesn't happen.
So, you're not explaining it away. I'm explaining
that it's a miracle.
Yeah.
And that instances like that are a miracle. It absolutely is.
Mm-hmm.
It absolutely is. And like, how often do we read stories where somebody, somebody's helped by a Good Samaritan? Oh, there's another biblical reference, a Good Samaritan character, or they lose everything in a fire and suddenly every member of their community starts bringing them stuff.
Yeah.
Right? We read stories about things like that happening all the time. I'm sure for every one of those stories we read, there may well be a story where that doesn't happen. Maybe. But to me, that's all the more reason why that is a freaking miracle right there. You didn't need Jesus in person to go, Shazam, there is food for all. What you needed was what Jesus is all about, to inspire everyone. And that created a miracle.
So maybe another way of putting that is that acts of love, whether that's sharing or people deciding to collaborate where they weren't collaborating before, someone changing their perspective, having a paradigm shift, that can be a miracle. But all of these different things can be grouped into, I would just call them acts of love. And in a context where acts of love are notoriously missing or lacking, those acts of love having the power to create something new or different, in that context, is a miracle.
Yeah, sure.
So, because
frankly, I was going to say, as you were saying that, and I love the way you were saying it, I was going to say any act of love is a miracle. Any act of love is a miracle generator.
Right.
I think it's a way to say
that. But is it still, if hypothetically, now this is getting just kind of philosophical, but if we were all Jesusing, I love that term. So for anyone who's just listening to this episode and hasn't heard us use that term before, Robin, a long time ago in a sermon, used this idea of to be like Jesus is Jesusing. So Jesusing is a verb. So if we were all Jesusing all the time, full out, just like there was no poverty, there was no one was lacking anything in the world, we were all just constantly treating each other with love, then would those acts of love be so normalized that we wouldn't call them a miracle? It would just be an everyday thing that was just common. So is what makes it a miracle the fact that it's, oh wow, normally that never happens, but in this case everyone worked together, or everyone shared what they had. You know what I mean?
I do. And part of me wants to say it's always a miracle. But the thing, we don't know, because we'll never reach that.
True. But
first of all, I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. But the thing is, first of all, we will not ever reach that. We could probably cite examples of things where something that was originally unusual. In fact, we have many negative examples of this, where something that was unusual and different and new, and then it happened again and again and again and again, and it became normalized, right?
Yeah.
So the initial occurrence of it is, wow, And then by, you know, a few years later, it's turned into, oh yeah, whatever. I suppose there's a possibility of that happening. Except I'm going to then now say no, there isn't. Because I think things like that, I think that there's something about, there is something about, I'm going to sound like a Celine Dion song here, but there's something about the power of love that, there is something about the power that is in love. That's why I said, initially even said miracle generator.
Right.
Love has a power to create those kind of moments, to inspire those kind of moments. Depending on, of course, how you use the word, but like going back to this story, we would say that it was an act of even if you're going with it inspired it, rather than Jesus actually went, you know, Shazam, like it was magic.
Yeah.
Right. Instead say it inspired generosity. We say it inspired generosity. And we might use it as an example of we have a mindset of scarcity, but in fact we are surrounded by abundance, right? Mm-hmm. And so here's a perfect example, is that there was little to nothing to start with, but Jesus' miracle turned it into an abundance. In fact, in the story, there was so much that when people were full, there was still, 12 baskets, yeah, 11, whatever it is,
baskets left. When they collected all the leftovers.
Yeah. So, of course, it doesn't tell you what happened to those leftovers. I don't know whether people got to take them home. Did they toss them? I hope they didn't recycle them, because people could take them home. They didn't have Tupperware. But you can see, I'm glad we kind of went that way with that, because you can see how quickly a miracle story can be turned ridiculous.
Yeah.
Not just by the magic idea, but by the explanation as well. If you try and explain things like the miracle of Jesus healing the blind man, right? He puts mud on his eyes. He spits and puts dirt in his hand, spits in it, makes mud, puts on the guy's eyes, says, go and wash it off, however many minutes later, and he can see. Mm-hmm. Perhaps it was miracle mud. And Jesus created that, and then he left it on for exactly 7 minutes and 30 seconds, which was just long enough for the enzymes in the mud to blah, 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 blah. It sounds ridiculous, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
Because it is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And maybe the miracle here, and this is where, okay, that explanation's ridiculous, but perhaps the idea that Jesus brought sight to a blind person isn't about the physical healing of their blindness, but the idea that the people around that person, because they had some sort of disability in that era, in that time, you would have been blind to their existence, right? You ignored them. Mm-hmm. They become outcast from society.
Invisible, yeah.
They literally became invisible, right? So who is it that's being healed of the blindness? Is it the person or is it us?
That's a really interesting question.
And then you go, that's still a freaking miracle.
Yeah.
You didn't explain away the miracle. You simply addressed it.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that's the same thing with the loaves and fishes thing. I think it's entirely a miracle that people were inspired to share. I think that's an amazing and incredible miracle. It's an amazing, incredible miracle that happens on a fairly regular basis. That doesn't make it any less a miracle time it happens.
So something becoming common, back to what we were talking about a minute ago.
Just because it's common doesn't make it less of a miracle.
So I've got a thought on that. It's a little bit like, you know, in quantum physics, where I don't understand very much about it. So we won't get too far down this path, but the basic concept of the behavior of the physical is influenced by the observer. So an observer observing, a subatomic particle passing through a diffusion screen or something will actually influence the pattern of those particles diffusing or diffracting or whatever. I don't really understand it, but the theory is that intention or the presence of a consciousness or a conscious observer influences the world around it. Mm-hmm. So the power of intention, okay? So you talked earlier about, you know, every morning that you wake up, basically you're in a coma. Every night we go to sleep and we're in this coma. We're like laying there almost dead, and we come to life every morning. And that's miraculous until you take it for granted because it happens so commonly that we just ignore it. But choosing to see it as amazing is a conscious choice. So maybe my thought here is that viewing something as a miracle is just a conscious choice of becoming present to how amazing it is. It doesn't matter whether it's really common or really rare. It doesn't matter if it's something that never happens and we have no way of explaining with science how it happened, so we got to chalk it up to a miracle. It's not about that. It's about having the perspective of that is incredible and I'm grateful for, or I appreciate that this happened, and I'm choosing to have the perspective of this is miraculous.
That's sure. Yeah, I like that. I like that. I do think again, much like miracles themselves, we could talk about this to the point where we kind of have to stop and go, yeah, that went too far. but I think there absolutely has to be a line between, not a line. Line's not what I mean. There needs to be a transition. There needs to be a transition between miracle and wonder and amazement. I mean, you can look at something and you can understand completely, thanks to science, exactly how it works, and it doesn't change the fact that you're amazed by it. Mm-hmm. Right? It's like growing a flower. I can explain to you how the flower grows when you plant the seed and what happens scientifically. This is what happens. I cannot explain to you why that flower is beautiful.
Right.
Right? Because that's the perspective part, right? It's like looking up at the stars at night and going, yep, I can explain to you where they all are, how they are, and how to, you know, how far away they are and all that kind of stuff and what causes that light and how much later we're actually seeing it than it actually occurs and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I cannot explain to you why it's amazing and incredible and fills you with wonder.
Yeah.
That's a miracle. But there are all sorts of things that happen that I'm sure we watch things happen. How did you feel when just recently those kids on that football team, soccer team in Thailand, trapped in the cave? How did you feel when the last ones came out? Well, we felt that's awesome. That's amazing. I can't believe they got them out. How did they do that? I can explain it to you. It doesn't change the fact that, first of all, one of the guys died in trying to bring them out. And secondly, they managed to get them all out. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm embarrassed that I can't, because I read this story like 3 or 4 times. I can't remember the name of the retired SEAL that died in getting those kids out. But people in Thailand will remember him. And that's amazing. Right, because he did. He was part of something that was absolutely amazing. You can explain that all you want, and you can look at the map of where they were and how they got them out, and the equipment they used, and everything like that. But you can't explain away the wonder of how amazing it is that they got them out.
Yeah.
Right. And we see that all the time. Right. We see people who do things, and we're amazed at. We can explain it. But it still doesn't take away our wonder or our amazement, right? I think those are miracles. They're little. We're seeing them all the time. I don't want to say little miracles because that implies there's scope to miracles. Right. There's big miracles and there's little miracles.
On a scale of 1 to 10.
On a scale of 1 to 10, that was a 7 miracle.
How miraculous!
But that's not important. What's important is that they're miraculous, and we should open our eyes to the wonder and amazement of those miracles. Because they're happening all the time,
mm-hmm.
Literally all the time, and you know, literally from the moment you wake up. I can't necessarily agree with you when you say you're in a coma, because no, you're not. You're asleep, and it's not the same thing.
I'm not suggesting this, but it's like.
But think about even that. How amazing that is! Like, you can explain a coma. You can explain being asleep, But the fact of the matter is that your body is still in its own way answering the bell when it wakes up.
Hang on, let's go just back up to, you can back to sleep and coma. You can explain when you're in a coma.
So you can explain what a coma is, and you can explain what sleep is, and we know, like, they're scientifically different and all that blah, 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 blah. But think of still, when you're asleep, your body is still continuing to maintain itself. It's still continuing to function. It's still continuing to do certain things, right?
Mm-hmm.
By itself, right? And yes, you can explain, well, your brain is blah, blah, and you've got, like, muscle memory and what's that? You just do it because you do it.
Thing, yeah, well, there's also a term for all those autonomous functions like breathing and...
Sure,
and
whatever. It's still freaking amazing.
Yeah, it is.
That you can be essentially shut down, but not.
Yeah.
Right? And then you're not. You're awake. And you're not necessarily, like when you're asleep, you're not necessarily aware, but then you suddenly are again.
Yeah.
I think the more you think about it, you can't help but be even more amazed, right?
Yeah.
It's a miracle. It's literally a miracle. Is it the same kind of miracle as Jesus inspiring 5,000 people to want to share everything they had with each other? It's not the same. It doesn't mean it's not a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I mean by the line between, especially with biblical miracles, between explaining them away and simply explaining the fact that it is a miracle, right? And that we should acknowledge miracles because they're happening still all the time. And I just want to go back to that what did I say about acts of love generate miracles,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
They create the circumstance. Yeah, they're miracle generators, right? They create the circumstance in which miracles happen.
Mm.
We should not only be wondering and amazed at that, we should be wanting to make more of them happen.
Absolutely.
Right? So yeah. I think that's a key learning from Jesus. You can do miracles too.
That's a great place to leave it. And I think we're out of time. So in the last episode that we were recording, I forgot to wrap up the episode with a phrase that I borrowed often from a video that we produced for the Six Ways from Sunday online community, and it was called the Faith Manifesto. And at the end of the Faith Manifesto, we say, "You are loved, spread joy, be love." And I think that those words really encapsulate exactly what you're saying right now, mm-hmm. Robin. That you know, just the whole idea of us creating this online community and the whole idea behind Six Ways from Sunday is that there are so many ways that you can create miracles in your life, in the lives of those around you, simply by being love and mm-hmm. sharing love. So we're going to leave it there. And I will just encourage everybody to spread joy and create miracles in your life by being love. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.